Okay, we are in the last chapter of Rock Solid Faith, Book 2. And so if you need Book 3, you might need to jump on the internet, go to Amazon.com. It's called Truth, A Rock Solid Faith, Book 3. It'll be bluish purple, I think. If you have the old books, you should still be in the blue book, right? Who has the blue book? Is it in the blue book? On deliverance. One more chapter, and then we go to the red book in that one. Okay, very good. Okay, so here we go. I want to talk about deliverance. Last week we talked about Reiki and the different other spiritual aspects that you need to stay away from. How many of you, that was a real education for you? How many of you had never known any of that stuff? Isn't it good to finally know what you're talking about? Amen? It's important to know not... Yes, go ahead, honey. Yes. Yes. Isn't it good
she
to
wouldn't let
this
lady who was practicing Reiki
about?
Touch her because she felt uncomfortable.
No, I wouldn't either. What you do is you just play with them and you just cast the devil out of the woman playing with Reiki. So it's a lot of fun. You kind of mess them up a little. So it's important to know what you're talking about when you're dealing with spiritual aspects. Tonight we want to talk about demon possession and demon oppression. What's the difference? How do you know? How to get the devil out? Has anybody ever seen a demon-possessed person before? One. Besides the movies. You know. Yes. Yes. I think one of my wildest ones I ever saw, which will be one of the examples in here, is actually I watched a lady's face morph. It was pretty intense. And right in front of me, it was in Tennessee. Literally watched her face change in front of me. It was really intense. So demon possession is very real. What's happened is we talk about it, we joke about it, we watch movies about it, but we don't think it's real. I want you to realize that the spooky movies that show all the demon possession and so on and so forth are, some people look at them as entertainment. Once you've seen one person really manifest a demon spirit, it stops being entertainment because it becomes very what it truly is, very real. And there are a lot of Christians that are struggling with oppression, and we're going to get into that as well. So the difference is recognizing that the things which you cannot see are more real than the things which you can see. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. How so many people don't realize that the chair you're sitting on is temporary, yet we put all our faith in it. You drove your car tonight. You had faith they would stay on their own side of the road. Here we are. We walk by a level or a measure of faith, and we walk by an understanding that we really are captivated by this world, but it is the temporary side of eternity. We need to realize that this chair in 60 years is not going to be here anymore. It'll be probably thrown in the garbage. We have some in the garbage now because some people decided that it was really fun just to take a knife and to put an X in the back or to stand up on it and jump until the legs fold in. You know, it's not abnormal. That chair's life expectancy was longer, but now it's not there any longer. So we put so much into the temporary, and we forget that the eternal is far more realistic. And with this, we know that there are two entities. We know, we talked about it, God and angels, and we have Satan and demons. I want you to realize that both sides of the coin are not here to play games. This is not like, wow, that's a really good movie. No, this is real. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. So there is a reality that you physically cannot see, but yet is more real than what you can see. For what you can see is temporary, but what you cannot see is eternal. So the struggle which we have is making sure that we're not so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. It's important that we recognize that we've got to pay attention to what we cannot see because it is real. The name of eternal game is this. Who can own who? Whom? I guess it's supposed to be whom. Who can own whom? And the devil has only come to counterfeit what God has done. So I want to remind you what happens when you become born again. The Bible says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, how in the world, as Nicodemus said, how can I enter back into my mother's womb? Well, no, Jesus said, no, you don't understand. What is born of the water, what is born of blood, but what is born of the Spirit is eternal. And so being born supernaturally is when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It is not joining a religion, not joining a church. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The moment you are born again, everything changes in your life. Literally, what occurs is your spirit man who does not know Christ, is dead. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. So before you knew Christ, you were still eternal, but your spiritual man was dead. When you became born again, the Bible says that literally, not figuratively, that the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So literally what happens when you became born again, you became possessed.
We should say it one more time.
When you became born again, you literally, not figuratively, became possessed. Literally, God by his Spirit dwells within your spirit. It is not a philosophy. It is not a theory. It is not a church conclusion. The Word of God says you've now become the temple. God dwells not in temples made with hands. He dwells within mankind. So literally, you are possessed. That's why Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 are so powerful. For the Bible says that you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the personality of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives through me. So literally, how can something live through you unless something is in you? So when you became born again, you became possessed by God. He literally is steering you, guiding you. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How and why is that possible? Because the one who is alive, the one who brooded over the earth at creation, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, says that the Spirit of God brooded or hovered over the earth at creation. The Spirit of God who dwelled within Jesus, Romans chapter 8, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells within you. That literally you are possessed by God himself. So wherever you are, wherever you walk when you're born again, you are walking, you are encapsulating literally the Spirit of God. That's why it's the Bible says that we are naked before him. Well, literally, he knows your thoughts, he knows your intents, he knows every direction you have. That's why when you sin, when you're born again and you sin, what you're actually doing is taking God on an adventure of sin. Amen. If you're going to the bars, you're taking the Holy Spirit to the bars. Well, listen now. If the Holy Spirit took on natural form in front of you, you wouldn't be taking him to the bar with you, would you? No. I talk to couples that are before marriage having sex, and I simply say, listen now. When you're born again, if you're born again, you're having sex, you're taking the Holy Spirit into sin in your own body. Because if Jesus appeared naturally, you wouldn't be saying, hey, we're going to go have some premarital sex. Jesus, want to come to the bedroom with us? Amen. I can't hear an amen. You start dropping the F-bomb. If Jesus was standing physically right next to you, you wouldn't be saying, hey, come on, Jesus, come on, let's enter right in. Somebody once said to me, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with cussing. I says, good, I'll say it from behind the pulpit. Let's see how it works out. I said, would I still be your pastor? Well, no. Well, of course. But you can cuss and you say you're born again, but the problem is that Jesus is standing right with you. In fact, he's living inside of you and you're saying all those nasty things. You can't expect that God's not going to be shocked. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So the truth is that we've got to come to a true revelation. Word revelation means an unveiling, an apocalypsis, a true grasping and understanding that literally, not figuratively, the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, that you are literally possessed. When you understand that, you live different, you walk different, you talk different, because you know you're encapsulating God himself. And then, this is the truth, in that we've got to make a decision, are we going to show forth God, or are we going to show forth our flesh? Say amen or oh my. So, as we talked about it, we know that the enemy, or Satan, has only ever tried to counterfeit, because he's not a creator. Satan can't create. Satan can only duplicate or try to such. So what happens is he'll try to get as close as he can to what God has done. And he's done that through what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is possession and oppression. Now, oppression is different from possession. So we're going to get it right into this. You ready? Oppression is when a demonic spirit comes on somebody. You've heard the verse, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You find when people start having great fears or going into phobias, usually you'll find a demonic spirit. Well, I just don't believe in devils. Well, then you don't have to believe in devils all you want. So try to medicate it out. The problem is you can't medicate out a spirit. We're going to teach you how to get rid of spirits tonight. Because whether you like it or not, an oppressive spirit will come upon somebody and literally motivate them. A demonic spirit can come on somebody, and actually, you don't even realize it. They're whispering in your ear and telling you what to even say. A demonic spirit can even come and oppress while you're sleeping. Nightmares. You need to know, even your subconscious is subject to Jesus. Amen? That literally, demonic spirits can come and move people to do things. Now, listen now. It is very interesting, as we're watching in today's reality, of all the evil that is happening. Evil like we've never seen before, at levels we've never seen before. How is it even possible? So a spirit can oppress somebody and influence them in a strong manner. Possession is different. Possession is ownership. People that are possessed are literally just like the counterfeit. Come on, now, Satan counterfeiting what God is doing. So God literally dwells inside of the spirit of man. When a person is possessed by Satan or by a demonic spirit, literally, the demonic spirit is possessing their soul. Their spirit man is still dead, but the demon is literally possessing their soul. Listen now, we're watching things happen in today's world that are so evil, you just sit back and say, how could anybody do anything like that? You'll find that demonic possession is behind a lot of it. That now, because God is so subtracted from our community, now this is the powerful part. It used to be that God was very much involved with our community. Now God is subtracted from our community, so evil is rising to new levels. We have more people playing with demonic entities and playing with demonic activities and children that are desensitized to the demonic because of the cartoons and the movies that our parents are showing them, that now it's very normal for a child to start have interactions with a demonic spirit. Children are very sensitive to the demonic. So children will actually enter into relationship with demonic. Lester Sumrall, some of you know him. He's passed away, gone home to be with Jesus. But Lester Sumrall did a lot of ministry in the Philippines. And one day he heard while he was in the Philippines about this young girl who was being bitten. And so she was in prison. So he went to the prison and started talking to the gentleman who was in charge of and brought her out. And she had literally bite marks all over her body, like teeth marks. And so Lester Summerall starts talking to her, and she says, while I'm sleeping, a demon jumps on me and starts biting me. Well, the guards didn't believe her and all this other stuff, so they put cameras in there. And literally, now this is an oppressive spirit, literally, in the middle of the night, you saw her screaming. I can't find the video, but I'll get another one. I'll get it for you so you can actually watch it. And literally, it shows as the teeth are going into her flesh and biting her. There was another young lady. It was a young man. He was about 7 years old. In the Philippines as well. And while he was there, he had a, what do they call them? Invisible friend. Anybody ever have one of those invisible friends when you were a child? He had an invisible friend, but his invisible friend appeared to him consistently and then possessed him. It is documented he would be in the middle of his classroom, regular school class, and his friend would walk up to him and say, let's go play. Nobody else could see the friend, but he could. And literally, he would disappear from the classroom. Documented. One day he walks into a service with Lester Summerall, and the demonic or the demon manifested, and he cast the demon out of the child, and the child was normal from that day forward. It's really normal to experience. Deb, do you mind if I say about your past a little? Deb, up in Freeville, her family introduced her to the spiritualist camp. And one of our ladies, Deb, the other Deb, there was at a women's meeting down, was it Marion's house? Marion's house down in Newfield. And Deb had a word of knowledge about a spirit that was plaguing somebody. And it was, she named the spirit, and it was the spirit that was assigned to Deb as a child at the spiritualist camp. Well, she's right there. You can ask her. So demons are very real. And understanding how they work is very important because the Lord has given us a phenomenal command, and that is that our job as believers is to cast out devils. Not to be afraid of devils. That's where most of the church is. A devil, run! You don't run away from devils, they run away from you. That wasn't too convincing. I said, you don't run away from a devil, they run away from you. Nah, it's still really weak. You don't run away from a devil, they run away from you. Really, I'm serious. Demons are afraid of you. They know that Jesus gave you all authority over the power of the devil. They know that Jesus gave you a commission. Preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. It is your job and my job to identify as we are the people of liberty. We are the ones that literally can set people free in the name of Jesus that are either oppressed and or possessed by a demon. And they just hope the church remains as dumb as possible. Because the dumber the church remains, the more they can take possession and oppress. The more they can hurt, wound, steal, kill, and destroy. Until the church understands their job, then the demons run rampant. Well, I'll just bring someone to church who's demon possessed. Take care of yourself. Why cause a commotion? So oppression is different from possession. So let's talk about oppression first. Number one thing to know is that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. Say that with me. A believer cannot be demon-possessed. Say it one more time. A Christian cannot be demon-possessed. But I will tell you, a Christian can be oppressed. Now, there are fads that go around. In fact, it's been in our area twice. Back in the early 2000s, they came out with this Friday night church service. And I forget what it was called. And there was a preacher who wrote a book on demon possession. And they were bringing Christians in. And they were telling them they were possessed by demons. And they would get them in a circle. Listen, now, I'm going to tell you how to know when this is whack job. When they sit you in the middle and they surround you, because this still happens in our region, by the way. They surround you and they all pray in tongues. And they're waiting to hear what demons you have on you or in you. So this one person said to me, I went to this and they told me I had demons on me like scales. So many demons. There are thousands of demons on me, just like scales. Well, let me tell you, that person was not rock solid anyways. They were definitely not rock solid after that. They took somebody that was sick, brought him in and sat him in the circle and started doing their thing. Oh, I see demons like trees coming out of your belly button and grabbing your head. A local church not too far got somebody in the middle, and this person was struggling with their relationship with Jesus and was talking about possibly moving on from their church to a different church. And how do I know that? Because they ended up coming to this church. And they gathered around her and started prophesying. Had to pause there. Started prophesying that if she left this church, that the demons would all kill her children. I actually have that one in writing in my desk. They're trying to tell people that when I was in Bible school, there was this kid that went around, started telling everybody, you know, you got a demon inside of you. They're talking to, I'm talking at Bible school. You got a demon inside of you. And he would start to pray, and they would open themselves up, and there would be a manifestation. Well, listen, anytime you open or give a foothold to the devil, he's going to manifest himself. And I looked at him, and I said, you will stop that foolishness right now, or I'll turn you into the dean. He says, I'm telling you now, I see manifestation. I said, you are not led by manifestation. You are led by the word of God. And the devil's got you, he's got you duped. Well, I don't believe that. I says, you prove it in the word, and I'll go with you. You don't prove it in the word, you do it again, I'll turn you into the dean, I'll get you kicked out of this school so fast you won't even know what hit you. He did it. I got him kicked out of the school. Why? Well, because he was prophesying. He's trying to move people by experiences, and what's happened is this, the word of God is yay and amen, not your opinion. Oh, yeah, really quiet on that one. The word of God is yay and amen, not your opinion. And when you come to oppression and possession, a believer cannot be possessed. Why is that? Well, because I come to an understanding that God is a jealous God, according to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, that he does not share well. You ever seen a kid not share well? God don't share well. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Where is he? In you, whom you have from God. And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We as Christians are literally possessed by the Spirit of God. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known that they are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I already quoted this verse, but Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, O little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God does not share a space with a demon. It's important, because a bunch of freaks out there who don't know their Bible try to get people moved on emotionalism. God gave us emotions, but when the emotion does not line up with the word of God, it is to be expelled. Amen. And if somebody can get you to believe, in fact, like I said about this, these people who are doing this, they got one person in the middle who was not tithing, and they knew he wasn't tithing. And this is what they said. The Lord says you have a demon on you, And that demon is a demon of, oh, what was the word they used? Greed. And so they started casting out the demon of greed on them. And then the person tithed for a little bit because they scared the snot out of them. And then stopped tithing. They saw he didn't tithe anymore, so they brought him back in. Got him back in the circle. It's called manipulation. That's not of God. And that God will never do that. And a demon cannot share the same location as a believer. You need to get that and make sure you understand that. God never shares. I can prove it to you. Here we go. Proof is easier. Mark chapter 3, 24 through 27. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and he is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, then he will plunder his house. Showing this, a demon cannot dwell in the same place as God. So as a Christian, you can never be demon-possessed. Whew. Isn't that good news? But a Christian can be demon-oppressed. Now, the greatest way to understand oppression is a demon, like, literally crawling on the back of somebody or afflicting them with a sickness and or disease. Demons will literally latch onto people. The Bible says to some, they have dull of hearing. And the reason they're dull of hearing is because they've given their ear over to hearing things that they shouldn't. And a demon will literally cover their ears. Well, how do we know that? Because Jesus cast out the spirit of deafness. How do we know that? He cast out the spirit of blindness. How do we know that? He cast out the spirit where a person could not talk. How do we know that? Jesus had a woman who was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up. She had osteoporosis. She had bone disease. She had arthritis. And Jesus commanded the spirit of infirmity to come off her, and she was free. True. She was healed of leukemia. We need a microphone. Ben! Oh.
I was going to say that, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Is that before that Jesus healed me from leukemia, I lived in the spiritualist camp. And I was in plenty of seances. And they kept saying, Debbie's going to die, Debbie's going to die, Debbie's going to die. And then one time I was in a seance, I started pulling my own hair. And saying, I hate Debbie. I want her to die. I hate her. I hate her. I want her to die. And the washer and dryer went flying up in the air. They smashed together. It crashed to the floor. And my friend who was there went running out the door crying because he'd never seen anything like that before. And then it was shortly after that I got leukemia. And this was in 1976, and I was told that I would die 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. And my mother told me, who was living in a spiritualist camp, involved in that, and I was brought up between the spiritualist camp and the Assembly of God Church.
Wow.
And so I was going to both. And she said that she saw in a little square, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. And she told me that, and I said, I don't believe that. And she said, well, believe that I believe it until you believe it. And then everyone was praying. My brother-in-law drove a library truck, and he stopped at every single church on his route all over the state. And we had just people praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden, one day, I felt all this love come over me. I love the people on the commercials on TV. I did. I'm like, oh, I love them so much. And everyone that came in my room, and I was dying, and I was not afraid. Amen. And I did not believe. I was 20 years old. I just started not to believe that I was going to die. So they said I was in denial when I told them Jesus was going to heal me. And they sent a psychiatrist in and said that I was in the denial stage. And I said, I don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you that you don't believe.
Right.
That you just believe, you know, that I'm in denial and I'm being healed. And I walked out of that hospital healed.
That's right.
I've been written up in so many medical journals. I was on the front page of the National Enquirer.
Ah!
But I was. And they said I'd never have children. And Ben and Joe, my boys, and I have two girls too. But Ben and Joe were little. They came to our house. They took my picture with the boys because they said that I could never have children. And the title was Faith Heals Cancer, The Proof.
The Proof. Amen.
And it was about
Jesus. And that cancer, if you study the Voice of Healing ministers, they all believe cancer's life is a demonic spirit, for it's life that breeds death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I believed it because it kept saying I was pulling my own hair, saying, I hate her, I want her to die. And I got sick. I almost died, but we beat it.
Amen. Jesus is powerful.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I've seen many spirits. Many of them show up as Indians. And
yep.
They'll show up because of the area that we're in, you know, was so saturated with American Indians. And I've seen them. I've seen them in the flesh. They have names.
Yep.
And I know one time that
you know that stuff too, right?
I got locked out of the house, and she said she had a twin that had died at birth. But she said, Lily, will you open the door? We're locked out. And the doorknob turned and opened. So I could just go on forever, tell you about all that. And it was like, get me out of here. And what happened is we all started putting crosses up on our houses, and we got asked to leave.
The spiritualist camp asked you to leave?
Yeah,
that just wasn't nice.
Great big crosses on top of our houses.
It wasn't even nice.
And we planned on going anyway, but we practically gave those houses away. It was like just to get us out of here. There was.
Sadly enough, most people here have never seen a demon. You've never seen a spirit. Some of you have never believed in a spirit. Some of you still don't believe in a spirit, and you're in the room. But let me tell you, first time you see one, first time you have one actually in your room staring at you or sitting on your chest, everything changes. Got to wait for a microphone there, young lady.
I've never seen a spirit, but my daughter started having nightmares when she was 3. It's like our maybe year and a half mark in the church. And she started having nightmares when she was 3. And she drew this stick figure. Like, when she showed it to me, she was so happy, but like all the hair on my body stood up. And I think this is like our second time through the spiritual authority part of the class. And I remember after that I just prayed over the house, told it to get out. And after that, she stopped having nightmares, and they've been a lot happier drawings.
Yes, thank God for happy drawings. Amen. It's real. And the problem is that churches aren't teaching about this anymore. They're not teaching about oppression. A Christian cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Right here.
I think people I remember, it was several years ago, some PTA mother of the year took all her kids in the car and got to the top of a hill and ran the car into the lake. And she said voices kept telling her to do it. Was she possessed or oppressed?
We don't know, but we do know that it was very strong demonic activity. And remember, a person that is not born again doesn't have the ability to thwart demon spirits. They don't have the ability to stop demon spirits. Why? Well, they don't have authority. They're in the same family. Remember, when you're not born again, your family, the Bible says, your father is the father of disobedience, which means the father of lies, which means Lucifer. Who's the father over all the demons, or who is the master of the demons? Lucifer. So it's important to know that as a believer, you have authority over every demon in hell. But if you're not born again, you have no authority. They can torture and torment you all they want. As a believer, we've got to know that this is not a game. So oppressive spirits, they can oppress by sitting on a shoulder and whispering in the ear. I think I told you about the pastor one time. I was sitting at, it was in Bible school. We were sitting there in lunch, and it was a pastor's weekend. They were coming to check out the Bible school, and a pastor sat across from me and a guy named Chris. And Chris was a spiritualist at one point in time and actually did transcendental meditation, out-of-body experiences, astral projection. He was in China many times in the spirit. And what ended up happening was here he is. He's sitting there, born again, spirit-filled, now in Bible school, sitting with me. And his pastor's talking, and the hair on the back of my head is standing right up. I'm just looking at this preacher, and it's standing up, and I don't know what the real issue is. But we ended up going upstairs afterward, and Chris said to me, "Did you see it?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Did you see the demon whispering in his ear and everything he whispered came out of his mouth?" I said, "I didn't see that, but I'll tell you, the hair was up on the back of my head." Man, it's called discerning of spirits. You will know what spirit somebody is of. That pastor was not possessed, but that pastor was oppressed. Listen, if you're playing with pornography, you will have a demon spirit oppress you. A spirit that is dealing with sexuality. Remember one time I was driving school bus up in Newfield, and I had just dropped, before I went driving that day, I had had breakfast with a man from the church who was delved in pornography. So much that he made his wife watch it before they had intimacy. Yeah, you do remember that. So here we are. I met with him beforehand and trying to counsel. Remember, you can't counsel off a spirit. And here I am. I'm driving school bus. Now I get to Candor. I open the door, and it's the cheerleaders walking out. I'm realizing I'm checking out all the cheerleaders. And I'm saying, well, that's just not normal. And the Holy Spirit said, what was on him jumped on you. Take authority over it, and that will be gone. Took authority over it right there, and it broke it right there. Spirits can jump from one person to the next person to the next person, especially if they're unaware of what's going on. Sickness can jump. A demonic spirit that causes sickness can jump from one person to this person to this person. That's why you never play with pornography, gentlemen and or ladies. It used to be a man's sin. Now it's just as much a woman's sin. The moment you start doing that, what ends up happening is you're opening the gate for a spirit to come in and to play with your children while they're asleep if you have them at home. You're opening up demons into your house. It's no game. So a Christian can be oppressed. Demons can latch on a person and cause tormenting dreams. I was in Tennessee doing evangelism, and there was a young lady. It was, a Sunday night on the prayer meeting night, and I went to go lay hands on her. A fear came over her face, and she dashed out of the back of the church. Didn't even get to pray with her. I said, what's wrong with her? And they said, oh, she has issues. I preached Sunday night, I preached Monday night, I preached Tuesday night, and Wednesday night came around. She showed back up in church. That night, I went to go pray with her, and I'm getting ready for her to dash. And the Spirit said, she's got a spirit of torment on her life. A demon is actually on her, tormenting her. I want you to cast it off. Remember, you don't pray off a spirit, you cast off a spirit. We'll get into that in a second. So I looked at her, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit of fear and tormenting devil, I command you to come off her body right now in Jesus' name. No longer are you allowed to torture her. No longer are you allowed to torment her. I command you to go in Jesus' name. And literally, that's the woman. I watched her face morph. I found out her testimony. She was sexually abused. I wrote it down here. She was raped and sexually abused at the age of 4. And a demon started talking to her, giving her comfort. And so she opened the door of relationship with the demon spirit. Now, she was gone through counseling. She had gone through, she was in her, I believe she was in her 40s. I don't know, I got to read that. I believe she was in her 40s. And that night, that demon came off her. I literally saw her morph. And I had been back 2 years after that, 2 years in a row, and she had never had another bad dream. She had never been in fear again. She was completely set free in the name of Jesus. A demon can oppress with addictions. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live, be slaves of sin. Listen, if you are a person that is struggling with addictions, I want you to know that if you are born again, what happens is you now have power over addictions. So when something is stronger or the influence is more intense than what you normally can just, in the name of Jesus, back off, you always know there's a spirit behind it. So people that are dealing with cigarettes, it's not just addictive because of the chemicals that are in there, but try to put the cigarette down. People tell me, actually chewing, people tell me is more difficult than even quitting smoking. Alcohol, there's no greater tormentor than a spirit of alcohol. I've watched demons take away entire families and kill somebody over liquid. You don't play with those things. You ever go to a bar, what do they call it? Spirits. I wonder why. We got a question. Hold on, you got to have a microphone, young lady.
So a few weeks ago, I was sitting on my couch, and I could smell cigarettes. Now, we don't smoke. That would not be in our house. And it's been popping up every so often. It's a very, very strong scent of cigarettes. So that is a demon?
That is, if that's a temptation for you, is it ever a temptation?
I used to smoke years ago. So
I'm not sure, but what you want to do is that is never allowed in your house. Because actually, I walked in a room today with a room full of pastors, and I said, who's smoking? And they said, what? I said, any of you guys smoking? No. I said, any of you guys been around somebody smoking? And they said, no, but I still smelled cigarettes. So sometimes you'll find, oh, you were in the other room. Yeah.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. You were right in the other room. Wow, that's pretty cool, eh? That's easy to take care of. We'll get into that in a second.
Pastor?
Oh, sorry.
So if your kids go to another friend's house and their parents are dabbling in whatever, can that come
yes.
home when they come to us?
Absolutely.
Our house. They're not allowed in our house.
They're not allowed in your house, but you will find that if the child opens that opportunity, and especially when they get to their room, that I've had parents literally, they can't get into the child's room because the child says that's their space. And I told my children, I own your breath. You own nothing. I own your life. And so I just don't allow spirits in my home. But at the same time, they do come every once in a while. They used to come. I didn't when my kids were into a lot of the drinking and the weed and all that other stuff. You ever realize that most cults and most other religions, false religions, all interject pharmacia. The Bible says the sins of the flesh, which are found in the book of Galatians chapter 5, one of the sins of the flesh is called witchcraft. When you actually take that word and you break it down into the Greek word is pharmacia, which means drugs. So when drugs and or alcohol are introduced, you are open up your mind and your heart to demonic spirits to play with you. That's why even in the Native American religion, they would smoke their, what is it called, Paiute. And you would talk about these other religions. It's not strange having a drug involved. Why is that? Because it opens you up to the spirit world. So it's important to recognize a spirit will always try to come, but they do not have a right to stay as long as you're willing to take authority. A spirit can cause sickness. Luke chapter 13, 11 through 13 and 16. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, bent over and always grew herself up. I already read that one to you anyways. Amen. It said, whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years, be loosed. So this woman was bound by Satan, by a spirit of infirmity, by a demon spirit oppressing her for 18 years. And then Jesus set her free. Amen? Demons can oppress you with fear and phobia. I had a woman in Orange, Massachusetts. She had agoraphobia, which means she was afraid to be in crowds. For 5 years, she stayed in her home. She didn't leave her home. And while I was at that revival, someone told her that she needed to come. And someone told me about her. And I says, you need to bring her. I says, have her stand in the back so she has a way of escape. She came in the back of the church, and you could see the fear overwhelming her face as she's standing in the back of the church. And I spoke to that spirit at the end of the service. I said, you foul spirit, you spirit of fear, I command you to come off that woman. And literally, her face changed and she started dancing all over that church. She was completely set free. That wasn't a fear, that was a spirit of fear. So demons can cause fear. Demons can cause phobia. What's a phobia? A phobia is a grown-up fear. Usually when you find a phobia, you'll find somebody who's submitted to a spirit of fear. What is a phobia? Well, you know people, they're afraid to go across a bridge. Why? I don't know. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of bridges. What are you afraid of? Well, has anybody ever seen that show? What was that called? He was a detective. Oh, man. Monk. Has anybody ever watched the show Monk? Yeah, I do. I still watch it. I record it. He's afraid of what? Everything. Cast out a spirit of food in you in Jesus' name. No, I'm just kidding. But what happens is you'll notice that you and I will deal with fear every once in a while. Amen? Fear will come on us, but the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So fear is not part of your life, but what ends up happening is when you start dwelling on it and you give opportunity, literally a spirit of fear will come. When a spirit of fear takes control, it will turn into what we call a phobia, which means you are now controlled by that fear. That is an oppressive spirit. Where now you don't go places, you don't do things. You're afraid of things that are normal and you should never be afraid of. That's why you never play with a spirit of fear. You never give place to the devil. Can I hear an amen? So there are many examples which communicate, but we must cut to the chase. Here we go. To get rid of a spirit of oppression or a demon of oppression, it is easy. Turn to someone and say, casting out a spirit. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. Casting off a spirit, there we go. Because remember, oppression cannot be in a Christian. I mean, possession cannot be in a Christian. So if you're a Christian and you are oppressed, oh, I need help, Pastor. No, you don't. You don't need my help. You can do it yourself. Oh, I need a deliverance. Well, deliver yourself. The same spirit that raised from the dead, Jesus from the dead, dwells inside of you. The same authority that's in me is the same authority in you. The big guys that are on TV, the same authority that's in them is the same authority in you. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Jesus said, I give you all authority over the power of the devil. No demon has authority in your life unless you give it to him. What you yield to is what you put your faith into. What you put your faith into is what you will manifest into. Amen. Fear is not your Lord. Amen. Sickness is not your Lord. Disease is not your Lord. These things are not your Lord. You only have one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what happens is when a spirit comes on a believer to oppress them, a lot of us think we got to go find someone to deliver us. No, deliver yourself. You have authority to cast off devils. Luke chapter 10, 18 and 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, shout all. Shout all That was more of a mumble. Shout all. No, that's still a mumble. Shout all. There we go. See, you keep getting louder. You should have just started there. Shout all. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. It's normal. Demons know they're subject to you. Demons know they have no right to oppress you. Demons know they have no right to put anything on you. Demons know that, but they're hoping you don't know it. They're hoping you don't get it because they know that they have to come off when you tell them to. Now, here's something that's very important for you to understand. Demons are a lot like dogs. I have a dog. He's very well trained. All hand commands. Heel, sit, stay. Or hand commands, whatever. That boy will stay right there until I turn my back. I start turning my back and walking away. That boy come right on behind me. I said, sit, stay. He'll sit and stay until he thinks you're not watching anymore. Then he gets back up and he does what he wants. Dogs do what you tell them to do until they think that you're not watching anymore. Devils do the same thing. They're just like a dog. I had a man say this to me one time. He had been struggling with pornography. And I said to him, I says, well, I want you to know tonight we're going to take authority over that spirit of pornography, over that spirit of sexuality, that demonic spirit, and is not from God, and God's going to deliver you tonight. And I said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast him off. He's not in you. I'm going to cast him off. But know this, that he's always right there in the corner. And the moment you let your guard down, the Bible says, be vigilant, for the devil seeketh as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, which means pay attention. A demon is just like a dog. The moment that demon thinks you're not paying attention, he's going to try to get back into your life. That's his job. That demon is never more than that far away. And he's just waiting for you to drop your guard. He's waiting for you to drop your words. Change your confession. He's waiting for you to declare facts over truth. He's waiting for you to give him opportunity. Don't give the devil a foothold. He's waiting for you to agree with him rather than agree with the word. Oh. Gird up the loins of your mind, the Bible says. The Bible says, do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what happens is, if you're over here playing with this sin and you have a spirit that's oppressed you and you take authority over that spirit and boom, he goes over to that corner, what ends up happening is when you start opening the devil or opportunity for that enemy, he will come back into your life. That's their job. They're not leaving forever. They're going to go to their corner. But the moment you drop your guard, they're trying to come out. Be sober. Be vigilant. For the devil, your adversary, is as a roaring lion, seeketh to whom he may devour. If you are not sober, if you are not vigilant. I knew this person that was delivered from alcohol. I'm not talking like weaned off alcohol. I'm talking delivered from alcohol. All these years, an alcoholic, hardcore alcoholic, delivered in the name of Jesus in seconds. Boom. They went a long time, and then they were out with friends, and someone offered them a glass of wine. They dropped their guard, drank the glass of wine, and were addicted the next day. It's truth. Well, they should have gone to AA. Nothing to do with AA. It's a demon. that you invited back into your life. It's not a game. They're playing for eternity, yours. You cannot allow a spirit to get out of his corner. They're going to try. Don't be shocked when they try. Don't be shocked when they attempt. Don't be shocked when they try to speak into your ear, bring fear into your life, or try to bring a symptom into your life. You got to take authority over that in the name of Jesus. This is reality. Well, I can't see. It's still more reality than you are. Just the other day, I got a phone call about a man who used to come to this church. Nice guy, great guy, 56 years old, dropped dead in his kitchen. Doctor said he was dead before he hit the floor. You can't play games. You don't know when your end is coming. But the point is this. Be vigilant. Pay attention. Don't let the devil out of the corner. This guy came to me, and again, I don't counsel women on a normal basis. I do counsel more men. And I was talking to this guy. It was a young guy. He was into porn heavy. And I said to him, "How you doing?" He goes, "Well, I brought my computer down to the living room so that my parents could see whether I was on porn or not to bring, you know, control." I said, "Great." We had already taken authority over that spirit in the name of Jesus, commanded to go in the corner. I said, "But pay attention. He's going to try to come back." One day he got an email. Just happened to be a half-naked woman in the email. And he hit open. That's it. Back into full blown. You cannot play with these spirits. They're playing for your life. Because if they can get you bound back up in that sin, we all know what sin does. Sin separates. But the Bible says, "He whom the Son has set free is free indeed." We got two over there. Okay. Deb, you're just cheering too? We got two cheerers over there. Glory to God. So demons are a lot like dogs. Do not give them the opportunity. Now, possession is different. Possession is when they actually dwell inside of you. Matthew 9, 32 and 33, "And they went out, behold, they brought him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel." I do want to go back to oppression in this manner. This is how you take care of it. Demons, remember we talked about this, Satan cannot read your mind. Jesus never prayed off a spirit. He cast off spirits. And you have to speak it. Why? They can't hear your mind. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you right now to loose me and let me go in Jesus' name. You know you have no right. I take authority over you. Get in your corner. And you can tell him, get in your corner. I'm giving you a word picture so you can see it. Get in your corner. You do not pray out, "Lord, I pray today that you will help me from this spirit." Jesus said, "What are you talking about? I already gave you authority over it. Take care of it yourself. In the name of Jesus, you oppressive spirit, I command you to get into your corner. You spirit of sickness, get into your corner. You have no right on my body. You're trespassing. Put them where they belong." But you got to say it. And when they try to come back, I said, get in your corner in the name of Jesus. Take authority over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, 14 through 21. "And when they come to the multitude, a man came kneeling down and saying, Lord, have you had mercy on my son? For he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often falls into the water," which is the spirit of suicide. That demon tried to kill him. So I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure. Then Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And so Jesus spoke to it, and what happened? It went. There's another example there. Acts chapter 16, 16 through 18. Now it happened when he went into prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. And that's why anybody who's playing, who like is a psychic or dealing with those things, they're all possessed people. You cannot enter into the levels of divination that they are by being oppressed. They are actually owned by a demon spirit, and that demon lives inside of them and speaks to them, guides them, directs them, and gives them knowledge. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Was she speaking the truth? Yes, she was. But remember what a demon always does? Draws attention away from Jesus and to themselves. But Paul, greatly annoyed, a demon will always annoy you, turned and said to the spirit, he didn't say to the girl, he said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and it came out of her that very hour. There are a lot of references in the scripture dealing with demon possession, which is different. That is the ownership. That means that person is driven by a demon, motivated by a demon. They do things out of demonic activity. Satan is their god. In fact, the Antichrist in the last days will literally be possessed by Satan. He'll be killed and he'll be raised up because Satan will possess his body in the last 3.5 years. The Antichrist will literally be Lucifer acting out of a body. So you got to cast out demons. Don't play with them. Don't play patty cake with them. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. You know, these people in deliverance ministries are always cute to me. They make me chuckle. This one dude, you know, he's like, his whole ministry is deliverance. And I believe in deliverance ministry. I believe that God will set you free. I have no question taking authority over a demon. That's simple. That's not difficult. That's easy. Why? Because he's given us all authority over the power of the devil. But this one guy, he loves playing with devils because it's part of his ministry kind of thing and brings in good money. And he walks up to somebody and says, what spirit is inside of you? And all of a sudden, the demon-possessed person will talk back in the demon voice. Well, we are many. Well, how do you know that really there are many? Satan is the father of lies. How do you know he's not lying? There might be a half an imp in him. And he's telling you got many. Or there might be, well, we're just one. Oh, just told a lie. We. Come on now. Don't play with devils. Don't spend time with devils. Cast them out. Cast them off. Don't play games. Take authority. Get it taken care of. As I've said in the past, anytime there is suicide involved, there is always a demonic spirit involved with that. Always. The spirit of suicide usually will jump at least one generation. Usually it jumps one generation, and we'll go to that generation after, and you'll always find, if you follow down in family trees, you'll find suicide jumping from generation to generation. Spirit will whisper in their ear. You're better off dead. No one loves you. No one cares for you. Just take your life. You'll feel peace after you die. Listen, that's the devil. Actually, it's probably not Satan. Remember, he can only be at one place at one time, but one of his boys. He just hopes you're not smart enough to take authority over him. Those thoughts always wisp through. I think it's wisped through every person's life at some point in time. Problem is, do you allow it to stay? Remember, you can't stop a bird from flying around your head, but you don't have to let him nest in your hair. Amen? Here we go. I'm almost done. Another 2 hours, we're out of here. How do I cast out a devil? This is not difficult for a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now listen, you must be born again to cast out devils. That's where you want to say amen. You must be born again to cast out devils. Amen. And recognize that they don't care what your name is. In the name of Larry, I cast you out. Demons don't care if your name's Larry, Louie, or Lucinda. Don't care. They're not afraid of your name. Your name doesn't carry authority in the spirit realm. But the name of Jesus carries all authority in the realm of the spirit. And every demon in hell is subject to you in the name of Jesus. You remember the commercials? E.F. Hutton? Listen, when you say the name of Jesus, when you understand the authority in that name, the demons don't go like this. They go, and they try to run. Because they understand the authority you have. They just hope you don't know the authority you have. So in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit, to get out of my life. And every one of you are going to have that struggle in your life at some point in time. Every one of us have a nemesis, some level of nemesis in our life. Some of you, it's depression. Some of you, it's discouragement. Some of you, it's a specific sin. Some of you, it's a generational sin. Some of you, we can go through the list of what it could be. Who cares what it is? That sin, if it's perpetuated by a spirit, has no authority in your life. I had a man say to me one time, well, my father died of a heart attack in his 50s, and I'm probably going to too. And I said, yep, you probably are. He said, that wasn't nice. I said, well, it doesn't matter whether it's nice or not. I said, if you want the spirit from your father, go ahead, but I got the spirit of Christ. We got to make a decision. Do you want your generational curse or do you want your generational blessing? And you'll find a demon will come from generation to generation if you'll allow that spirit to perpetuate. Take authority over that devil in the name of Jesus. Where is he going to go? Go to your corner. Someone said to me, well, I'm going to cast him back to hell. You don't have a right to cast him to hell. He has a lease here. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they gave their dominion and authority over to Lucifer. That's why Jesus, in the book of Luke chapter 4, when he was being tempted of the devils, he stood on top in the pinnacle place, and Satan said, see, all of this has been given to me. If you bow down, I will give it to you. How could he say that? He could say that because Adam and Eve gave him authority. They gave him that place. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took it back. And he said, I've given it to you. You, that same authority that Adam and Eve had, that same dominion that Adam and Eve have, you now have. And so every demon in hell is subject to you in my name. Now, there are people that try to cast out devils when they probably shouldn't. They don't know their authority, or simply they're not born again. You need to know, you need to be known in hell. That was a really good spot for an amen. That was a good one. You need to be known in hell. Amen. You need to be known in hell. When your foot hits the floor on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, hell should start shaking and say, crap, they're up again. I said that word just for my mother. She thinks that's a swear word. Maybe she'll try to cast that spirit on me. No, she did that once. Remember I told you last week she was at group, but she cast the demon out of me. That wasn't a joke, was it? Was it scary? No? She didn't really understand. Isn't it sad? Most churches never taught. In the church she grew up in, the church I grew up in, never taught her how to take authority over a demon spirit. She just did it, thank God. Or I wouldn't be here today. There was seven sons watched Paul cast out a demon. They're called the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter, I believe, 19. I got to look at that. Acts chapter 19, 13 through 16. So these seven guys watched Paul cast out a demon. And they said, that's stinking cool. So they found a demon-possessed man. And they walked to him. Now, come on now, there's seven of them. Walked up to this one dude, this one guy, demon-possessed, and said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out! You know they had to do the accentuation too. Come out! The demon-possessed man looked at him and said, Paul, we know. No, was it Peter? Peter, Paul, and Mary. Hold on. We're going to get this. Paul, we know. Let's go. Jesus, we know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Now listen, that's very clear. This demon said it very clearly. I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you, which means he wasn't born again. Oh, excuse me, the seven of them were not born again. Demons are supernatural. And if you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, you're not walking in the authority of his name, they know it. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but we don't know you. And this is what happened. You ready? The one demon-possessed man beat up all seven of the brothers, stripped them butt naked, and sent them running home to mama. It's right there in the Bible. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom that evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. First time you see that 4'11" girl throw grown men around like little toy dolls, you realize that demon possession is not a game. It is real. Nothing to be afraid of if you know your authority. But if you're not born again, like these guys weren't, that demon had a right to whoop them. But if you're a believer, spirit don't have a right to whoop nothing. You got to learn how to take your authority. Amen? So don't just be wimpish. Yeah, the violent, take it by force. Question. Over on this side, Brother Chris. She's going around so she's not on the TV camera.
So you're saying that we're to believe the seven brothers weren't believers? So why was it that the disciples couldn't cast out the demons when they didn't? You said it was with prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting, which means they're, remember, at that point in time, it was a different era too. They did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. The Holy Spirit only came upon them because they were Old Testament saints at that point in time.
So it's not that they were backslidden.
Just, no.
The Holy Spirit didn't live in them like he lives within
Correct.
Us. Because later on he says, I give you the power.
Correct.
The power that's within me is within you.
So what Chris is saying is, and when the disciples went to go cast out that one spirit, that The disciples couldn't cast out that spirit, and they went to Jesus. Remember, Jesus cast out the spirit, and the disciples said, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, these don't come out but by prayer and fasting. I want to remind you that when you're looking at the disciples, you're looking at two different eras. The disciples, before the death and resurrection of Jesus, were Old Testament saints. The Spirit of God would come upon them but did not live in them. It wasn't until John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on them after his resurrection and they received the Holy Spirit that they got salvation the way we have salvation, where we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's a different era. We have more power than they had. We should be doing more than they do.
So
yeah, good.
So when Christ met Legion and he had to cast them out and he put them into the pigs, does a demon have to have a host? Did you say you could put
demons, the Bible says what happens when a demon leaves a host, they then search in dry places, and if they find no place to go, which means another host, they come back to the one they were cast out of. If that house is cleaned but not filled with God, then what ends up happening is he goes and finds seven more, even more evil than himself, and come back, and that person is now possessed by eight demons instead of one.
Right, so don't play with fire, pretty much. Like, if they're not a believer, and you cast them off, and they don't become a believer.
I very rarely will cast a demon out or off of an unbeliever. Remember, Jesus said to the one, he healed them, and he said, go and sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. So I very rarely will cast a demon out of an unbeliever unless they want to be free. If someone says, I don't want to be free, then very rarely will I cast the spirit off them, or I should say out of them. If a person is oppressed and they don't want to be free, I will not cast the spirit off them because I'm just inviting more problems for them. The demon will have to leave no matter what. If a person is not born again and they're demon possessed, I have the authority to take, I have the authority to cast that spirit out of that person, even if they don't want it gone. But they'll come back with seven more brothers.
Well, as long as they keep opening the door, they're inviting them in anyway.
Correct. And if they're not born again, when you cast the demon out and they don't get born again, the house is clean, they're coming back with seven more.
Right. Okay. And then the other thing is, if you're backslidden, can you become possessed, or is
yes.
still within you because you still fall under the grace?
What happens is we do not know the line when somebody is completely gone. The challenge is, why would anybody want to play with that line? So if a person is backslidden, walked away from God, the Bible says that the Spirit of God can be grieved. He'll step away. And if a person is living in sin, they are no longer saved. We see that in Revelation chapter 2 with the church of Ephesus. I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Because you have left your first love, be zealous therefore and repent, or I will remove your candlestick, which means they're not going to heaven. The Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. I have somewhat against you. You are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I will projectile vomit you out of my mouth, which means they're no longer going to heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that if a person was born again, tasted of the Spirit of God, and truly had a supernatural experience, and told the Holy Spirit no longer to be part of their life, that they can no longer come back to repentance, called the unpardonable sin. So you got to know very clearly that if you are a person that's born again and you become a trophy of the devil, he's going to do everything to take where God was and fill it with him. Don't play the game. Good? Any other questions? Good chapter, huh? Phew. Phew. Stuff people don't talk about in church these days. But you got to know this. There are no less demons than there were before. Just that the Christians are more ignorant of them. You know, when you go into work, you should ask the Holy Spirit for discernment. Show me who's demon-possessed. Show me who's demon-oppressed. Show me who's just walking in the flesh. You'll be able to take control of the atmosphere of work. You have the authority to take control of the atmosphere. Don't just sit back and let it happen. Well, who am I? I'll tell you who I. You're a son of God. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You represent the authority in the name of Jesus. God's given you dominion and authority over all the power of the devil. You have authority over your atmospheres, and you have the authority over the environment that you're in. You're not subject to the environment. The environment is subject to you. You're not weak, you're strong. Well, I'm just a Christian. Who told you that? Who lied to you? You're a son of God. Whatever Jesus did, you can do. Oh, you don't believe that? John chapter 14. Jesus said, I got to go away. If I go away, what happens is this, is that greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. Whatever Jesus did, you can do. Stand in authority. Stand in power. Stop allowing the devils to play with you. Stop allowing the devils in your home. Take authority. You have it. Do it. They're subject to you. They're just hoping you remain as ignorant as possible because they'll take advantage of you. As long as you ever had somebody do that to you? They just take advantage of you. They only call you for one reason. They only call you when they want something. Anybody know somebody like that? Only call when they want something. And then when they start getting something, they keep coming back more and more and more and more and more. They don't care about you. They don't care about what they're getting. They just care what you're going to give them. That's what demons do. Stop feeding them. Cats stop coming around when you stop feeding them. They go to somebody else's house. I don't feed cats. Questions? Are you a cat person? I love animals too, especially cats. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. I'm just not a cat person. My mother's a cat person. Yeah, I don't know. Just never really grew on me. They get too close. They break space. Cats break space. My dog does, and he will lick your uglia if you allow him to. He'll stick his tongue down your throat and wiggle that thing in the back. He's kind of gross. Okay, I guess we're not going anywhere more, are we? Are we all good? Yes. Go.
You mentioned something about your name being known in hell. How does that work exactly?
When you're born again, the moment you're born again and you know your authority, they know you're dangerous. There are so many Christians that are born again. They love the Lord, but they're never taught authority. So what happens is they're not dangerous. So there's no need for them to be concerned about you. They should be concerned about you. If they're not concerned about you, it means they're not afraid of you. If they're not afraid of you, that means you aren't going to do anything for Jesus. Be dangerous. You want to be rebellious? You have no people. Well, I'm just rebellious at heart. Good. Praise the Lord. Rebel against the devil. See what you can accomplish. I'm telling you, it's just, you got to be known. And in this church, you know, Jesus only used 12. And one of them was a Judas. Of course, that was his name. But it was his activity, too. He had 11 that literally turned the world upside right. What would happen if you did this? Do you realize what would happen if you led one person to Jesus a year? What would happen to God's kingdom? Just one in 365 days. You just led one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. What would actually happen to God's kingdom? It would explode. In this church, 800. The next year, 1,600. The second year would be 3,200, right? No. Yeah. The third year, is that third year or second year? One, two. 2 years. Fourth year, 64. And fifth year, yes. I know, I hate math. I'm telling you, double a penny every day. The issue is that the devil's not afraid of most of you because you cause no damage to his kingdom. Get dangerous. Get dangerous. And you'll start seeing, you'll have to start taking authority in your life because there's no reason to bother people that aren't dangerous. Amen. Father, we thank you for the authority you gave us in your Son's name. We thank you that we are not weak, but that we are strong. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us all authority over the power of the devil, and there's not one sickness, not one disease, not one diabolical plot, not one foul assignment from Satan, not one thing has authority in our lives. We take authority over all of that in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the spirit of fear, over the spirit of phobia. We take authority over the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. We take authority, God, over the spirit of sickness and infirmity. We take authority over the spirit, oh God, that would try to torment us. Lord, we take authority in the name of Jesus over all things that are not from you. Lord, we declare he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We honor you. We declare you as God. And Lord, nothing else is God in our life but you. So Lord, we thank you for the authority to put the devil in his corner and to walk in your power and might. In Jesus' name, bless the offering, bless the people of God, and use us, God, to lead at least one soul to you in 2019 for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.